I was told it was a baby leg.
Blog Talk Radio.
Take a week off and I forget to even put in the right intro. It's all good. Oh, shit. It's been a week, but we're back with the Misfits of Gold weekly special, you know, on the show with me today, the one and only MF Beck and his little girlfriend, Travis Hyland. What's up, fellas?
What's up, gangster?
Y'all act like you can't hear me and shit.
Motherfucker, I can hear you just fine.
Man, you gotta tweak that hearing aid out, bro.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now, man. You know,
can you hear me now?
Hey, after this last few weeks, bro, I figured I'm gonna get a med alert. You know, one of them things. Help me, I've fallen and I can't get up. It's been a fucked up few weeks, bro.
That lady on the floor in the bathroom with the horrible acting.
Well, that's what I get. You know what? I get in trouble. See, this it comes back to haunt me because every time I used to see those commercials, I would always mimic them and make fun of them and say, "Help! I've fallen. Come fuck me in my butt," you know. And and now, fuck, dude, I fell twice in 3 weeks, and it's like,
did you say
I'm
the same
in
thing?
I'm looking in the mirror. Oh no, man, I ain't thinking the same thing. I'm looking in the mirror and go, you know, I'm finally coming to the realization that I'm old. You know, it's like, I guess you get past that 50-year mark, and man, you just can't bounce up like you used to. You know, things in life change a lot, and then I end up getting sick on top of that. So, I mean, I don't even care. I'll be honest with you. I got my dab pen in my hand. I'm ready to rock this show. So what's been popping in your neck of the woods, MF?
Shit, man, a whole lot of fucking nonsense going on over here in California. It's just getting kind of fucking wild with people. But it's cool because we get to sit back and fucking, you know, watch what's actually fucking happening and unfolding and kind of just fucking enjoy it. Because it's fucking chaos, dude. That's all I ever wanted. All I ever wanted, just a little chaos. Let's see some fucking growth. But shit, dude, all in all, fucking things are good. Business is actually fucking going appropriately at the present point in time, so I can't really complain. Well, I shouldn't complain, actually.
Yeah, I feel you. What about you, Mr. Travis Hyland?
Well, you know, things are good up here in the fucking cave, as always. I just said I don't get out much.
Yeah. Well, hell, with three nuts, how could you?
Indeed.
Bro, you know I love fucking with you, man. You know, if one thing, you're my little homie, man. I appreciate you. You know, you always inspire because, you know what, for being a young dude, you have a lot of knowledge, and that says something about you. You know, I've sat here the last 3 weeks, and I've done a lot of, I guess you could say, soul-searching, reading, whatever, you know, because you can't do shit. Fuck, you know, like we said before we went live, you asked me, how's the foot? And I said, it's better than the other one because I don't fucking have another foot. So with that being said, I'm kind of stuck in fucking bed, bro. And I tell you what, it makes you reflect. It really does. But no, man, it's really made me reflect. And I look at the shooting aspect, and I'm having come to the, you know, the realization that my shooting career may be over, you know, with the surgery that is ahead of me and the healing that's ahead of me with just breaking my foot in four different places. But on top of that, it's like I look at the journalism aspect. I'm reaching the pinnacle of where I wanted to be. And I ask myself, you know, when I get these people that extrude hate and, you know, attitude towards me. It's like, why in the fuck am I even doing this anymore? You know, I've reached the top at, you know, just about everything that I've wanted to set forth to do in the sport. You know, and I find myself contemplating, why in the fuck am I still here trying to please a bunch of haters? And I can't come up with an answer.
Good fucking God, people. Sorry, Don.
I
wouldn't worry too much about fucking other people, you know what I mean? You've already done so much, contributed so much, and helped so many different people, you know what I mean? People are going to get upset no matter what it is, whether it's because they're going to miss you or they just fucking, you know, don't know what their life's going to be without you. Or, you know, worst comes to worst, there's always the selfish motherfuckers that only look at ways that you can help them. But either way, bro, you know, it's like one story ends, another story begins. Now it's just the characters are going to change, the timeline's going to change, whatever, dude. But, you know, you already contributed so much, brother, man. Just think about what's going to be on, the next journey, the next story.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Oh, I didn't even tell you guys. I'm such a dumbass.
Well, we know that. So we don't hold it against you.
I apologize. I'm dabbed out today, and hey, you know what? I don't give a shit. Who cares? But no, man. NBC is going to be doing a biography on my story. And the only reason I let NBC do it, you know, I was going to let ABC do it, but I don't know. The way they want to portray me in this is kind of cool, man. To sit back and realize that somebody actually wants to write about your old ugly ass and put it in a book, it's kind of cool.
Because they ain't taking pictures. Yeah, we got to give this motherfucker a book. We can't be putting him on TV.
You got a great face for radio, Don. I'm sure you heard that before.
Oh, man. You don't want me to put
him on TV. He's too dab right now, bro.
I am. I'm good.
We gotta keep smoking, get on his level.
Yeah, you know, it's actually a good level to be at. If America was on this level right now,
working on a motherfucker,
there would be no problems. Everybody would get along. I might even buy you a ham sandwich.
You know, I wouldn't mind it. I'd probably enjoy it.
And you know what's funny about that, Don, is I was actually kind of doing some reflecting myself. And, you know, thinking about a lot of the things that, you know, you're thinking about. And I think one of the things that's been helping me, or at least that I've been trying to do lately, is to go, you know, try and live my life without all these fucking labels. You know, everything that everybody wants to put on you, all the different, you know, everybody's trying to shoehorn you into one category or another where they don't like you. You know, it's like what we always talk about. You know, there's that 99% fail rate in this country, where somebody can love you for 99% of what you do, but as soon as they disagree with one fucking thing, and it doesn't even have to be a real thing or not, that instantly turns into, oh, you're a piece of shit, you've changed, this and that, man, you know? So it's, I think something that everybody can benefit from right now is to just go about their life and just try and be a good person and be who they are, and you know, not give a fuck about all these labels and everybody trying to put you into one category or another, man. It's something that's really, you know, I really think it's something that's taking our society down and dividing us more and more and more by all these different fucking categories that, you know, you can put someone into hating them.
You know, I like that because, you know, I was thinking the other day, you know, fuck, I ain't got nothing but time right now. So I was watching and going through different aspects of social media, different platforms, and you know, you go to somebody's profile, and they fucking got 100,000 posts and no likes, and then you go to another person's page, and you know, they got 800-900 likes a picture, and it made me look at life in a different aspect, man. I don't know, it kind of saddened me in a way. It's weird because, you know, it's like, really in life, none of us are no different than each other. I mean, we're all equals. You know, those that choose to fuck up, you end up in prison, you end up dead, you end up wherever. But the people that just want to exist or make a statement or feel relative in life, they don't even get accepted on social media platforms. So they get bullied in life. They don't get accepted on social media platforms. What is it doing to society in that aspect for those people that are just trying to fit in?
That's the problem. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head right in that last statement. It's they're trying to fit in. They're so worried about other people's opinions and trying to, you know, be part of the tribe they want to be a part of. And I mean that in the most, you know, genuine, nice way. But people want to be accepted by who they want to be accepted by. But the problem is, people are going to be accepted by people. It just never is the people that you really want. You know, it's like, I may look up to this particular person when I was younger. Then it's like, I realize, I'm like, fuck, I actually kind of hate that person. You know what I mean? It's like, you grow, you learn. But it's like, society wants, you know, like, it tells you you have to be a certain way in order to be accepted by anyone, anything. You know, like, it defines success. It defines your relationships. It defines, like, who you are as a person. And people's social media, you know, like Travis has talked on it before, that's an embodiment of somebody's ego. So when you're looking at it, you're seeing somebody else's ego, and that's what these people are living up to. And it's impossible standards. You know, like, I'm sure you've heard of that fucking keep up with the Kardashians. It's like, motherfucker, how are you going to be middle class and sit here and try to keep up with the Kardashians? Like, what type of foolishness is that? It's like, it makes no sense whatsoever. These people are judging their lives and who they are as people based off of how these fucking celebrities that don't know them, they don't give a shit, nobody fucking really cares. And then you look at people outside of their, like, most immediate circle. Those people are going to do what they need to do to survive or to take care of their family. They're going to put themselves, then their family first. You know what I mean? They don't give a shit about you. If it really comes down to it, there's not a lot of people that are willing to suffer with you. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is, like, why would you want to be accepted by these people who don't give a shit about you? But these people who are, you know, willing to fucking blood, sweat, and tears with you, you just kind of push them aside, like, not like it doesn't matter, but it's just not what you want, so you don't look at it like a blessing. So, I don't know, man. It's human behavior.
Yeah,
trying to fit in, not being themselves.
Yeah, but, you know, it breaks my heart, man. I don't know if I'm weird for doing this or what, but on my post, you probably have noticed, I respond back to everybody. I mean, whether
absolutely.
It's 300, 400, 500 fucking comments, I respond back to everybody. But then I go to other people's pages, bro, and like I said, I don't see any likes. And so I'll go down their page, and I'll like 10, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 of their posts. And, you know, to me, in my thought, maybe if I did that, maybe it was a day that a motherfucker was thinking about committing suicide. And by me going to their page and just, you know, showing a little bit of love or showing that somebody's looking at their shit or giving them the time of day, maybe it changes that aspect in their life. I don't know, man. I don't know if getting old is making me soft, but I've just really, you know, sitting back, like I said, this last 3 weeks to a month, I've just sat back and I realized that a lot of people have become bitches. I mean, just straight bitches. I mean,
emotional ass motherfuckers.
Right, because, I mean, it's like, okay, usually I don't got the time to even generally give a fuck. I mean, let's be real. So I never really pay attention to how people do things, but when you're stuck, when your ass is stuck in bed, you know, social media, because I don't watch TV, and, you know, so it's like, I was just like, man, are you for real? And then I seen how, well, at least in my mind, in my fucked up head, I seen how this trend is being set, and I see different aspects that I never seen before in social media, and I see where it's going. And I got to tell you what, man, we're in for some pretty fucked up shit. You know, the way people are conducting themselves, the hate that gets spewed across there, man. The revolution is now, man. People, you could laugh at me, you could say whatever you want, but the change in society has begun, and within the next, and this is my own personal opinion, but I think in the next 3 to 5 years, there's going to be social unrest, and I think this country is going to be in a pretty fucked up place. MF, what are your thoughts?
I think you're spot on. I personally believe it's going to happen a lot sooner. Within the next probably, I'd say, give it a year, maybe two, and everything's going to be fucking going kind of one direction. Because right now you got two different worlds that are colliding. Think of it like an earthquake, right? Like, you got one side is like the old world, like how things were, and you got this new world that's trying to actually birth. And right now there's this tremendous amount of friction and pressure that's happening. Eventually it's just going to fucking release, dude, and there's going to be like the fucking vacuum or whatever, what would you call it, like a fucking... like a vacuum effect's going to happen, dude. It's going to go one direction. That's the one thing that I actually am kind of a little scared about. But at the same time, dude, it's like on an individual scale, I rebel anyway, dude. Like, I don't really fucking care about, you know, all the other nonsense that happens. Like, I pay attention to it because I try to be informed, you know, but it's like I'm an emotionally disconnected empath. As paradox, or much of a paradox as that fucking sounds like, but it's like I don't feel my own emotions. Like, I don't judge anything based off it. Like, my logic rules, you know what I mean? But I feel the emotions of other people. But it's just like, when I can't comprehend why they're feeling that emotion, like, it makes no sense to me, and it confuses me, because I feel these emotions, but yet I don't fucking comprehend these human fucking sides of people. It's just bad. And then you look at society, dude, like, society is going fucking apeshit right now. Like, everybody has an opinion. There's violence everywhere. Shit's fucking crazy. Nobody's reining in any type of control. It's almost like the powers of be are just almost like, you know, maybe we just let these motherfuckers go in, you know, kind of take each other out, you know, settle some problems, depopulate a little bit, save some fucking resources, manpower, you know, like, maybe that martial law that everybody's talking about, they're actually just, you know, letting things fucking happen because they know that they're going to be the winning side, and when they're the winning side, they have more control over what's happening. And if the people are eating themselves alive, oh, well, King Donkey Dick's got to come in and fucking save the day, and there's going to be that fucking savior, dude, and it's going to be fucking, I don't know, it's going to be a confusing time for most people, but for those of us, you know, that have been watching from the background, it's inevitable. You just got to look at, you know, how you're going to be able to adapt to survive the situation, you know. And like what you do, Don, you have an opportunity that's more powerful than, you know, anything that I could do, anything that Travis could do, anything that, you know, most people could do. You have a voice that connects to all these people that can listen, hear, and they want to hear that message, you know. And they can do it without fear of somebody judging them for it, or without somebody actually really paying attention to them connecting with somebody they feel they actually connect with rather than who they think they have to connect with. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
and then at the same time, you were talking about, you know, like, you may say something that could fucking save somebody's fucking life that day. You know, they may have thought of fucking killing themselves and be like, oh, somebody actually feels the same exact way I do. Like, I'm not a fucking lone. You know what I mean? Like, that shit's powerful, dude. Like, even like for example, we had one chick that actually referred to the Misfits as superheroes one time. Like, I blew my mind, dude, because her mom fucking and sent me the screenshots, like the messages and shit. But she referred to us as superheroes, as in, like, you know, we rocked masks and everything else. But it was like the fact that we didn't care. We look out for each other. We're generally just good people. It's just people just don't like us because we do our own thing. You know, anyway, it was cool to hear that. But it's like, you never know who's looking up to you. You know, so it's like, in the world of unrighteous people, best thing you can do is just be righteous yourself, man. You know, and everything else will fall into place.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to ask Travis this question because, I mean, this is really a deep, for real thought. You know, I look at myself and the comments that you just made, man, and I appreciate that and I respect that. And I mean, we all roll in our own little walk, and we are who we are individually. But I don't get why. I mean, I don't get it, bro. I mean, I told you the story about, you know, on California Extreme Fighting, you know, how old boy tripped out, and we was homies. And then now it's like, you know, I sit and I ponder these different thoughts about, why do people put so much emphasis on what I do? Why do people appreciate so much what I do? And because the truth is, I'm really not doing nothing that I wouldn't do in the norm, that I wouldn't do on a regular fucking phone call with UMF or you, Travis, or my homeboy Randy Marshall, or the people that I do correlate with. I mean, it's like, I just bring that to a show. I just talk to a fighter like life should be, like a real motherfucker, you know. But for some reason, it's made people think that I'm above the norm. I'm different than everybody. I'm this, I'm that. When in reality, I'm just like everybody else. I'm just bringing on somebody that most people don't have a way to connect to, and I'm sharing who they are. So with that being said, how does that give other people to perceive me in a different manner than being normal?
I mean, I think you kind of answered your own question there, Don. It is out of the normal, you know. We are living in a world now, and I think, you know, people are starting to see it, and they're starting to realize, you know, just how weak and dependent, you know, people have become. You know, they're so dependent on society and the way it is that nobody has that character anymore. You know, no one has drive anymore. No one has that ambition anymore. And so literally you just being, like you said, real, genuine, the same on the radio show as you would be, as you are when you talk to me and MF on the phone, you know, that is out of the normal. And you know, to kind of bring it back around to what you were talking about earlier with the whole, you know, you really could save somebody's life by making a comment on Facebook. Now, with that being a true statement, look at the society in which we are in, where just that small amount of human interaction, even though it's not fucking human, you know, just that small amount of acceptance and that little dopamine hit they get from that one light is enough to make a person, you know, consider not killing themselves from the excruciating hell that this fucking society has become around him. You know, we are living, and, you know, I mean, I guess I'll just end on this, you know. You said societal unrest will begin in 3 to 5 years. MF thinks it's one. I think it's now. I think it's probably started 2, 3, maybe 4 years ago. You know, and then it's like you look at that on an even larger scale and go to like a geopolitical scale, man, the entire fucking world is going insane right now. Venezuela is the goddamn apocalypse. You know, look at fucking Syria, the Middle East. I mean, look at China implementing this fucking, literally China has made their country an episode of fucking Black Mirror. And I mean, it is the apocalypse in some places. And I think that the civil unrest, you know, all of this chaos, I think we're in the middle of it and people aren't even, are just now beginning to realize, you know, what social media is doing and what it's going to do to the kids, where there's just these fucking algorithms that mine you for you know, whatever things that you like and they can direct you in all these different ways. You know, it comes back to the fact that people love this format. They love having, you know, this podcast, this radio show, where we can be real. And we can be wrong, and we can talk about what the fuck ever, because at least it's honest, and at least it's genuine. And that's what makes you, you know, an incredible person, Don, is throughout all this shit and all these people, you know, that are doing things with you and all these celebrities that, you know, connect with you, you're able to remain humble and you're able to remain genuine. And that's what's incredible about it.
Yeah, man, you know, it's disheartening. It really is. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. It's just being 53 years old and I look at shit and, man, it's just crazy, man, because everything, I don't even think anybody understands real anymore. I think the only real that they comprehend is what they see across the damn front of their PC or their phone, and
well, that is their reality, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, and that's pretty sad. I mean, it's like I'm trying to find this commercial because, I mean, this is actually on a radio station, and I've got the link here somewhere. It's actually on a radio station in a city in the United States, and the city has gotten so bad and out of hand that the journalist took to this and, I don't know if I can find it or not. This kind of sucks. No, I don't think I'm going to be able to find it. I don't know where the hell he sent it to me at, or did I already pass it? Well, fuck. It's about Hagerstown, Maryland, and it just, Randy, if you're listening, send that to me again real quick, man, because I think it's a message that people need to hear. I mean, when you can't even find anything good to talk about your own city, how in the fuck can you expect to make a change in America, you know? And you know, I look at even where I live, it's predominantly white. I don't know. I've seen it take a step backwards. When I first moved here 23 years ago, hell, I was the nigger. You know, I'm just going to be straight up honest. I was the nigger. You know, and where I chose to live, I used to get pulled over every other day, if not every fucking day, because of my skin color. Do I believe in racism? Fuck no. Do I believe in personal ignorance? You better fucking believe I do. Because, I mean, that shit's taught at home. I mean, you're not born to fucking hate a color. Just like you're not born to be a fucking transgender or a homosexual or whatever. That's a fucking choice. Man, you choose to do what you want to do in life. I don't give a fuck. We didn't come from apes. I didn't fucking walk up out of the ocean. You know, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. But, you know, it's like I look at society, man. I look at everything that's correlating. And like I said, if you can't say nothing even good about your own city that you live in, then what the hell are you saying about your friends? And then when you look at it at that aspect, everybody's against everybody. So, Travis, you think civil unrest has already started? MF, you say a year. I say 3 to 5. How do you guys see this, you know, playing out? How do you see it rearing its ugly head? I mean, because right now we've already got the Republicans against the liberals. It's been that way for a moment now. I mean, I think I've seen politics at its finest for the first time in my 53 years of life. I think it's the most pathetic piece of shit. When you got journalists apologizing for their statements, I don't even know where to start on this aspect. MF?
Shit, I don't know where to start on this question.
Why?
Dude, I'm like, I can go on for days on this whole fucking thing. It's right now, it's especially with the media and everything, the main trend I'm seeing is like the Republicans are more just like handing rope to the liberals. And the liberals are taking a fucking hook, line, and sinker every fucking time. And now they're actually fighting amongst themselves. So even like you could probably go back maybe a year into our shows, and Travis and I talked about the Liberal Party is turning into an Ouroboros, to where it's pretty much a fucking snake eating its own tail. And that's literally what they're happening, because it's like they project like the hate game. You know, like what I talk about, emotions that can be exploited. You got fear, lust, anger, greed, and sympathy. The Democratic Party likes to run on fear and anger. That's like the two main ones they really fucking go after. And so you see these people, it's like they project it so much to the point to where it's lost all its shock values, where it's like the race card doesn't work no more, you know, the transphobia shit don't work no more, the fucking Zionist shit don't work no more. None of the name-calling actually is having any effect because it's lost all its shock value. So now they have nowhere else to project that hate except for, you know, their own people, because that's who's right there. Because now they're bickering amongst themselves, because how the fuck did this happen? How the fuck did this happen? How the fuck did this happen? So you figure that's the state of politics. And then you look at, like, the state of what America is. Almost everywhere you go, it's crabs in a bucket. And, you know, to the younger listeners, it's like, you know, all the crabs want to leave, but none of the crabs are going to let any other one out of the fucking bucket. Like, you can leave them without lids, and none of them motherfuckers will ever climb out. And that's just the way it goes. And you look at it, that's how people are. Everybody's so focused on themselves and getting to their own goals. They don't care who they got to fuck in the process. But what they end up doing is, like, you end up burning so many bridges, eventually you're going to create a self-imposed island, and then you're fucking stuck until somebody else bridges out to you. You know, but if you're known for burning your bridges, I'm not going to extend that out. Like, why am I going to allow you to do it? You know what I mean? That's like the story of the frog and the scorpion. Frog's carrying the scorpion across the water. Scorpion stings the frog. They both fucking drown. But before they do this, the frog asks the scorpion why, and he said, that's just in my nature. You know, but that's just how it fucking goes, dude. Like, humans are fascinating creatures when it comes to that particular, what would you call it, like, self-preservation. Self-preservation is so ingrained into the DNA that fear takes over, and then irrational thinking takes over. And then irrational thinking is, you know, what replaces reality. Because now it's their objective reality, not reality for what it actually is. So, I mean, so it's like you got the leaders acting one way, then you got the people going this way. And, you know, that's why I say, like, give it a year. Give it a fucking year, because eventually one side's got to lose. That's what people aren't seeing right now, or at least that's my opinion. You know, you're seeing the actually, like, Liberal Party is falling apart. But what happens if that party does fall? And I mean, like, fall, like battle fall, you know what I mean? What if they become no more? Then that, all that leaves is Republicans. Now you got a totalitarian system. But then, of course, the Republican Party will be split into two because they can't have people agreeing on everything. That's how they, you know, the divide and conquer. They get people fighting, can't see everything else happening. It's a lot easier to control people. And then you get the fanatics. You know what I mean? Like, even on Trump's side, dude, like, even though I wanted him to come in and create some kind of chaos, you look at the type of people that were bred because of that. Although it's unfortunate, it's a fucking casualty because these people are fucking morons, and they're giving white people fucking, you know, all these other bad names where it's like, because you're blonde hair, blue eyed, you're inherently racist. Like, suck my dick. I'm from Sacramento. I didn't even know racism was until I was like 23 years old. I thought that shit was just in movies. You know what I mean? Movies in the fucking history books.
But when I guess I should take it wrong when... Yeah, I guess I should take it wrong when my homies, you know, that are black call me a nigga. You know, so they get out, what's up, my nigga? So, motherfucker, why are you being racist? No, I'm joking. Hey, you know what? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just fucking, you know, that's just kind of how it fucking works, dude. Like, you're from Sacramento, too, so we grew up seeing a different side of this shit. And it's like, these people have just fallen, you know, prey to a fucking game to where they've been used, they've been manipulated, you know, and people are like, oh, I can't be manipulated. And for those of you who think that you actually can't be manipulated, I'll tell you what. Right now, I'm going to get you to do something without even knowing that you're doing it, and then I'll tell you about it later. Everybody that's listening, I want you to think of a spiral staircase. You know, something going straight up, going around like a spiral, something real easy. Now, I want you to sit there and actually try to describe it with your words, what it actually looks like. Take a good, you know, 5-10 seconds, try and think about it. Try and describe it in your head, what that spiral staircase looks like, and tell it to yourself. Think of people explaining it to somebody else. Give it 10 seconds. No, I'm serious. You do it too, Don. You do it too. Think about it. Think about how you would describe
it. I'm just dabbed out, bro.
Exactly. But now, everybody listening, I want you to do that again without moving your finger. And I guarantee you at least 95% of the people were moving their finger in some kind of a fucking circle, trying to describe it to themselves because they're trying to picture that image. But that's how easily the media, the government, we'll call them the mind slayers. That's how they work. It's little subliminal and subconscious manipulation that you don't catch because it's not with your main 5 senses.
Yeah. Hey, thank God for radio and tremendous friends like Randy Marshall. He sent me that clip even though I couldn't find it. So we're going to kind of jump back for a second. I don't know if y'all are going to be able to hear this because I'm going to have to play it via my PC. But I'll put the phone on speaker, and y'all got to hear this, man. This is tremendous. Hold up.
What's the name of this clip, Don?
It's just a clip about Hagerstown, Maryland, and it's on their actual radio station. Let me see if I can get it to open up here. I'm trying to open it up, trying to. Oh, volume was off. Okay. And, come on, Don.
Just remember the old Hagerstown motto.
What's that?
If you're all alone after dark, heading back to where you parked, and want to live to be a year older, make sure you watch back over your shoulder.
That's a motto to live by.
Did we mention there was violent crime?
You did now.
Visit historic Hagerstown. The tradition. You'll find prostitutes on many Hagerstown street corners. They have crack too.
I like crack.
You sure do.
Hey, you know what I really like to see?
What's that, tourist?
A street named after a local TV weatherman.
You are in luck. You need to take a stroll down historic Blue Scally Alley.
Wow.
Yes, currently 64 degrees, and the winds on Blue Scally Alley are out of the northwest at 4 miles per hour.
Wow, that was very informative and accurate, too.
Indeed.
What about culture?
Well, there's the Washington County Museum of Fine Arts.
Well, what's in there?
I don't know. We've never met anybody who's been.
Okay.
Hey, tourists, while you're in Hagerstown, check out Pangborn Park.
What's to do there?
Feed ducks.
I like ducks. Quack, 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 quack. But is there a city park?
There sure is.
What would I do there?
Feed the ducks.
I like ducks. Quack, 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 quack. All the opiates I took on my way into town have surely made me hungry.
Just talking about opioids and in town.
Well, fine dining.
Great.
Like with gourmet goat.
Do they serve goat?
I don't know. There's also bulls and bears.
Do they serve bulls and bears?
Only if they're dressed appropriately. And there's Rocky's Pizza.
Do they serve rocks?
No, but you can get all the rocks you want a few streets down. But I do know you'll have a good time in Hagerstown. Just remember the old Hagerstown motto.
What's that?
If you're all alone after dark, heading back to where you parked, and want to live to be a year older, make sure you watch back over your shoulder.
That's a motto to live.
Did y'all hear that?
Kinda.
That's an actual commercial from a radio station in Hagerstown, Maryland. If that's what's being perplexed across the country, we're fucked.
Shit, I ain't worried about it, man. Like I said before 100 times, if the world gets dumber, it just makes life easier for me.
I mean, but in a million years, did you ever think that you would hear an actual commercial for a town on their radio station with a guy saying, yeah, if you're out after dark, you better look over your shoulder, you're going to get killed. If you want rocks, oh, just go a few streets over.
That just shows you the state of where it is. It's like, it's so shitty that people can start cracking jokes about how shitty it is now.
But they fired the dude. They fired the guy for that commercial, man. I think it was.
He's a legend in my eyes.
Right?
Yeah, he'll live on forever. Somebody's going to pick him up like, we love your fucking honesty. Please join us.
I mean, you can't get any more honest than that. That's for damn sure. Oh, I was dying. Thank you, Randy Marshall, for that. I truly appreciate that. Man, I tell you what, pain medication and dabs, it takes the pain away, but it sure makes doing a radio show that much more fun.
Just use grease next time.
But on a serious note, Travis, you heard that. As a young man, did you ever think you would, in your lifetime, ever hear something like that across public airways?
I mean, at this point, I kind of get something like that every day, it seems. It seems like every two or three days, there's something where it's like, I am just absolutely baffled by the ignorance and comedy in which is coming out of all of these real-life situations. You know, the fact that there's so many things that are just, you know, unbelievably stupid or things like that where, you know, you're actually getting an honest view of, you know, from this guy's opinion what it is, you know, it's just crazy the things that they're putting out there for people to pay attention to while all of the real things that are going on in the world, you know, are not being reported and they're just getting swept under the rug. So it's at this point, man, that I'm not surprised by anything anymore. I'm so desensitized to novelty at this point.
Yeah. You know, the thing that pisses me off the most, and I don't know if you guys are going to agree with me, and I really don't give a fuck if you do, because that's what this show's about. We're still going to remain homies at the end of it. But my major pet peeve is, And I saw something that reminded me of it the other day. It's like, why are we so worried about refugees? Why are we so worried about others that are trying to get in our country and them being hungry and this and that? I know it sounds cruel, but we got people starving in our own backyard. And I mean, I understand that you got to have some sort of diplomacy across the board, show generosity, because we're supposed to be the superpower, the greatest nation ever. But we're not the greatest nation ever. If we can't look down and see that children are starving and dying underneath our feet, then what the fuck good are we to begin with?
It goes back to the five emotions of being exploited, you know what I mean? You get the sympathy ploy, and a lot of people fall hook, line, and fucking sinker. Because it's really, if you're not taking individual ownership for wanting to help, you know, by time and effort, and I'm not talking about just sending your fucking $50 a month, that ain't doing shit. You have no idea where it's fucking going. You get a picture, you know what I mean, so people can kiss my ass with that shit. But if you're not doing anything individually with your time and your effort to actually help people and actually understand the process, understand what is actually happening, then you have no fucking say. And then on number two, you got to think about how the fuck did 7,000 people get enough money to actually make it all the way through fucking everything and get let through by customs and they're coming in here. You know, it's like, I've heard some politicians are saying it now. It's like, that's a sign of invasion. And anybody that studies warfare understands, like, that's pretty much what that fucking is. It's, you know, it's a sign of fucking aggression. Like, somebody's trying to take over or inhabit your shit. But these people are falling for the sympathy, like, oh, feel bad for these people. Feel bad for these people. It's like, you know, but there's stories of fucking people that are, you know, putting together false families just so they can fucking get over there, where these parents have abandoned the kid in the first place, and these people, like, that are portrayed as parents aren't even them. But then you get the families that are really families that are getting mixed in with them. It's like, you know, as a fucking person, fuck it, we'll just say it that way. You know, if you were given a choice, like, you get a crate full of fucking snakes, but I can't tell you which ones are poisonous and which ones aren't. You get to go in there and fucking, you know, sift through them and find out for yourself. It's kind of a shit situation, don't you think? Because there's going to be some snakes that aren't poisonous, but why should they be judged in the same category as the ones that are poisonous? I mean, well, fuck, I mean, anybody with a fucking brain in their skull is going to think about the same way, you know what I mean? Like, if I can't tell the difference, what the fuck do you expect me to do, dig my hand in there? No, 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 no. Nobody would actually fucking admit to doing that shit. But it's just how the game's played, dude, and it's like you get these innocent people that are being fucking used for it. And these other people feel so fucking bad for them that they want to, you know, force somebody else to help them or condemn these people, calling them fucking racists or fucking devils or blah, 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 because these people see it like how you see it. You know, it's like we have our own fucking people here that nobody fucking gives two flying fucking fornications about. But yet these people that are trying to come in somehow, you know, warrant more attention, warrant our sympathy, our feelings, our thoughts and prayers on the fucking internet and but nobody wants to go out there and fucking do nothing. Nobody wants to take these people into their own homes if the terrorists came down to it. You know, so what are you going to fucking do?
And all this goes along while the top eight families own 80% of all the money, wealth, and property in the entire fucking world.
You know, that makes me realize why I'm a fucking 86er. You know, it really does, because this Thanksgiving alone, their goal is not just to put a poster up and say, hey, if you're hungry, come eat. But they got shuttles. They've got vans driving around looking for people and this and that. And they plan on feeding over 5,000 people this holiday season, a warm meal, and giving them a blanket and a care package. And it stymies me in a way, because these two individuals are very young in age, but Their entrepreneurial skills are off the off the chain, but their hearts are even bigger. And for the first time, I've actually seen a transition of some companies and them being one of them, because they're a charitable organization. I'm not just saying this because they're my sponsor, but I'm saying this because I believe in them. No, man, because I know what it's like to be 86th in life. No, on a serious note. I know what it's like. You know, I know what it's like to have one leg and have people point at you and laugh and, you know, and make light of it and shit. And, you know, I know what it's like to be different. So, I mean, I've been homeless, and, you know, I am different in life. I'm proud of who I am and what my body looks like. But my point being is there are a couple organizations like them that it really isn't about them. It's about bringing everybody together, and that's why I'm honored to be one. But then at the same time, it's almost like it's a little too late. It's almost like America has just fucking went stupid. I mean, they pay more attention to the NFL, the fucking political mumbo jumbo, and social media than they do their own fucking families. And when you start looking at it in that aspect, I don't know, man. It's disheartening to me, because I grew up in a time where, shit, we still had family reunions and picnics, and families got together at each other's houses. Now, man, you sit right next to somebody and they're going to talk to you by text, but yet they're sitting right next to you. You know, Travis, your generation is part of that generation. I mean, how did you transition yourself away from being such a millennial?
Mushrooms. But I mean, but on the real, you're exactly right, though, Don. And when, you know, a lot of really what helped me was kind of, you know, like we talked about before, man, is understanding history and understanding that
You know, you lived a way that was natural to people. It's the way that human beings as a species have lived for 200,000 years in our current form, and, you know, even further before that, you know. And it's, we've only had this thing called the Internet since 2001, you know. I mean, it was invented in 96, but nobody fucking used it. And realistically...
Oh, we did, motherfucker. It was just a difficult fucking task.
But, I mean, realistically, nobody had, you know, this invention of the iPhone and the smartphone and having that computer in your pocket, having this ultimate connectivity to everyone in the world, you know, it's something that human beings, as far as we know, have never experienced in their entire lives. And it's parasitic in nature, you know. It's people are living so out of whack of what is real life in their everyday, you know. And I think it's unhealthy. And I think that's what is creating, you know, this society we're seeing where it's like, everybody needs to be shoehorned into this little cubicle and just keep their fucking head down and alphabetize insurance forms all day long, you know, while the robots do all the normal work. And it's like, we are just, we have to get back to that, we said, you know, a family reunion. We have to get back to just coming together and dropping all the bullshit egos and, you know, having family dinners and sitting by a fucking fire, man. People are starving for that interaction and that human interaction. And I think that's what a lot of what we're seeing is, you know, wrong with society today. People don't even understand how to have a conversation anymore. I mean, conversation is going away. It's going to all be text. And eventually they're going to put this fucking phone in your head or it's going to be a contact lens on your eye. And you know, I think that vocal communication is dying. It's going away. I mean, people are... You know, they like, just like you said, Don, how many times do you walk into a Denny's and you see 4 16-year-old girls, you know, and every single one of them has their head down on their phone? You know, you see entire families where every one of them will be on their phone out at a restaurant. And it's absolutely baffling. And I think it is the most harmful thing going on in our society right now.
Yeah. You know, I don't know, I look back at the day that I didn't have a cell phone, and I wish we could go back to them days, but that's like wishing for Obama to be a true American. I mean, it just ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. You know, all I want to know is at nighttime, he says, I just want to know if he says, Michelle, is it your route or is it mine? No.
Hey, they just got a Netflix deal, man, $100 million. Michelle and Barack Obama are now documentarians.
Oh, man. She's transgender, bro. I mean,
maybe they'll make a documentary.
I'm not into conspiracy theory shit, but I tell you what, when that was first brought to my attention, I started digging into it because I'm kind of like Pat Miletich in that aspect, man. If it bugs me, I'm gonna research it. And I'll tell you what, if she ain't got a root, she needs to find a new tailor because she's got one hell of a bump in her drawers, bro. You know, I've looked at picture after picture, posting after posting, and I don't know, man. I don't know if it's a man or a female. I couldn't tell you.
Don wants to see it. If you got a picture of Michelle Obama's dick, Facebook it to Don right now.
Yeah, I want to see that shit.
Yeah.
You just opened up Pandora's box, my friend.
That's some crazy shit, man. I smoked too many dabs today. But it's all good, man, because you know what? I've accomplished what I've needed to accomplish in life. I've lived my dream, man. You know, this last few months on radio, I mean, I'll never stop doing my show, so... Let's get that out in the open. But as far as everything else, I mean, these last few months, even just on the radio, they've been fucking awesome. I mean, I thought about this the other day, how fucking lucky I am. And I think that's why I appreciate life so much, man. I've got to interview fucking some of the best fighters, actors, movie stars, musicians, that ever fucking walked the face of this earth. And I mean, I really ain't got nothing to bitch about, bro. I mean, everything. I can sit here and whine about my illnesses and that shit, but half the stuff I've fell and done to myself, or, you know, I can't help being born with something either. But you know what? I'm completely content with my life, man. And I think I'm going to change my focus to a different aspect. And there's going to be a big change and a big growth in how I do my shows and who I bring on my shows. I've been getting hit up by Hollywood a lot. I've been getting hit up by different aspects of all genres. And it's surprising to me, I mean, to be quite honest with you. So, I mean, I'm going to be adding much more to my radio network than just fighting. I might even take a step away from MMA for a moment, because the outpouring of people asking me to do different retrospects has been tremendous. You know, I don't know if it's because of this show right here that people see that I can actually not be so anal retentive, or if it's just me in general. I don't know, but you know, big things have been coming my way, and man, I think I'm going to take a new avenue for a minute and explore. I mean, I've had success in them, so I mean, I might as well explore that aspect of life too. What are your guys' thoughts?
I mean, man, Don, I think, you know, just to me, I think that is so wonderful that, you know, you've had that reflection, you know, because, you know, like we said, me and MF have talked about it, you know, off air. You have so many accolades and so many accomplishments, man. You've done so many things for so many other people. You know, you're at a point in your life now where you still got a good brain and you still got a good mouth, and you can sit back. You know, you have all of your accomplishments, but now you can sit back and you can focus on yourself. You know, you can finally take some time to not be, you know, putting everybody else in the spotlight, but, you know, to take some time for your health, and also just to be able to, you know, to sit back, man, and not worry about some of this fucking bullshit over political, you know, nonsense that MMA has become. You know, MMA is just, it has just become such a reflection of everything else, of this political state where, you know, the UFC is now owned by the fucking same company that owns the WWE. You know, you posted that meme about fucking, you know, the Air Khabib shirts, man. The UFC fucking had them in production the next day. You know, I mean, it's all fucking theater. And I think for you, for your mental health, you know, like you said, you have every fucking accolade in the world, man. You need to focus on you and what makes you happy. And you can still, you know, have this wonderful radio show. You can spread your message, you know, and still interview great people and have good conversation.
Yeah, you know, I mean, because it's like, bro, I mean, honestly, I've been having previous guests from the past and hit me up and want to do shows again. They got new breaks in their careers. They're getting ready to do new movies, or, you know, they got new sitcoms coming out, or it's just weird, man, where I'm ending back up. And I like that aspect. I mean, because in reality, I look at this interview that I did with Karma McCain. A lot of people don't know her. I mean, she's relatively new to the big screen, but has done shit tons of stuff as far as, you know, television sitcoms and things of that nature. And, you know, I look back at that interview, and not only was, I mean, because I sit about a little over 300,000 listeners a show, and that show was almost 400,000 listeners. And I sit back and I listen to it, and, you know, the more I do, the more I realize why I got the award for Talk Show of the Year. I'm not a fucking sports show. I am a talk show. You know, and a colleague gave me a comment the other day that kind of really, I mean, embedded that in me. He said, you know, Don, what we do is fucking shows, and there's 100,000 of them out there. He said, what you do is journalism. And that, it just kind of floored me, man. It kind of made me realize that maybe I've been doing this at the wrong angle the whole time. So, you know, if I redirect myself and appropriate myself in the right directions and genres, maybe I can find what I'm looking for. MF, what are your thoughts, homie?
I think just, first, my car actually wants to thank you. There we go. But I don't know, man. As we grow, we start to realize that, you know, what we were doing 5 years ago isn't going to be the same as what we're doing now. What we're doing 5 years from now isn't going to be the same. It's how life goes. It's how it grows, you know what I mean? You've already put so much time into one particular area of your life. Now it's like life's saying it's time for you to write a new story. I know it kind of sounds redundant because I've said it before, but you're going to have this opportunity that's going to be far bigger, far larger than what you've been doing right now. In my mind, you know, it's like, think about what you've been able to do right now. Imagine what that's going to be amplified by five, you know what I mean? And plus, it's more than deserving on your part. You know, you've given so much more. It's like life owes you in a fucking huge way, you know what I mean? And people owe you in a fucking huge way. We owe you in a huge way, you know? So it's just, I think growing with life and accepting the change for what's coming, you know, it's like, life's going to constantly change, and if you don't want it to change, well, then you're just going to get left behind and then probably get depressed and, you know, why isn't this working? Why isn't this working? It's like there's past, present, and future for a reason. You know what I mean? The future's coming, but the present isn't always going to be at the same time. It's constantly changing just as the past, just as the future. So I think you're doing the right thing. I think embracing it's the best way to go.
Yeah, y'all don't owe me a thank you. Y'all don't owe me nothing because – I mean,
motherfucking accept the thank you, damn it. Take the damn
no,
thank you.
Say
you're welcome,
out,
MF. I love you guys too. You know, Travis already complimented you on your pretty mouth earlier, and you didn't even say thank you for that.
Oh man, see, no, I'm serious though. I mean, you guys have introduced me to, like, you know, Cash, our homie Johnny, Jay, and Oleg. I mean, and so it's like that aspect kind of helped me realize, you know, who I once was, and then you guys bringing those people back up in my life made me realize where I kind of wanted to be again. And so, I mean, that's my whole point about this show is if we could all just break down and do something for one another without expectation, just show true friendship, true morality, a true essence of what human nature is about, I think we can all grow from that. And see, that's what's so hard and complex for me to understand is that morality is no longer there, but yet it exists in you two. So you can't say it's no longer there. It's just people aren't perpetuating it on the level that it used to be. And with that, you get the demise of society. And that's pretty sad.
Yeah. Depends on how you look at it, my man. You know what I mean? Because we got it. You know, we talk to you, you talk to us. We know certain people, you know certain people. But it's like we smell our own kind. I've said it a fucking million times. Oh God, I'm fucking crying. Jesus. But then, like, we do. We end up smelling our own fucking kind. You know what I mean? Like, we put ourselves around people that we either want to be like, want to associate with, or people that we just genuinely fucking get along with. But the cool thing is that we're all fucking batshit crazy anyway. So we get along with each other because we don't have to hide who the fuck we are. Because why? Because I'm fucking crazy, so I don't really fucking care if somebody else is crazy. If it matches my crazy, hey, we're going to do just fine. You know what I mean? In my mind, like, it's cool, man, because, like, you know, I've talked about before, like, I live in the shadows, dude. I didn't really associate with too many people. Like, I had, you know, a bunch of friends, bunch of circles and shit, but I was always just kind of like an outcast. Like, I kind of did my own thing. Just, you know, I'd be friends with these people, but I didn't really connect with them the way that, you know, like an actual fucking connection. Not like, oh, you know, you're cool. Like, we can fucking talk, even though we don't get along. We disagree with everything, but fucking, you're cool. You know, so it's like kind of getting forced out of the shadows, but it was to make genuine fucking relationships because meeting people that have gone through the same pain that you've gone through, it's like you're able to connect on a far deeper level than just, you know, celebrating our fucking good times. It's like if you've gone through the same type of struggle as somebody else, like, you get that person on a level that probably, you know, the shit you've gone through, your entire clique of people hasn't gone through, except for maybe like 2% of people, 1% of the fucking people you know what I mean? So there's that intimate connection on that fucking level, dude. And it's a beautiful thing, and we get to share that, you know. And luckily, fucking people are just as crazy as us because they listen to this shit and they like it. So, you know, if we can, you know, help people make them or help them feel like they're not alone, then fucking that's all it's about to me.
Yeah, you know what? I wanna end today's show on kind of a fucking funny aspect, kind of just a stupid ass off the wall question, because I mean, I think life should be funny. Fuck it, you know. You know, I just man, I'll just go ahead and throw it out there. If today was the last day on the face of the earth, I mean, and we knew it, let's say come 5 o'clock that we were all going to fucking be dead, and you had a chance to wax one piece of ass, whose ass would that be, Travis? And don't say Fluffy's.
Whoa, that's a fine piece of butt, though.
That is a fine piece of butt. Oh, man, MF, you got one off the top of your head, man?
Bro, that's like sticking me into a fucking section where I have 100 choices. Like, it's impossible for me to make that fucking decision.
I'll start. For me, it'd be Sarah Palin.
Oh, that a boy.
I love the way you're going with that because that's the same direction I was going. You know, at this point in my life, it would be so much more for the story. You know? I honestly want to answer one of your questions for you, Don, and, you know, maybe see what's under Michelle's skirt.
Oh, good God.
Do what?
It could be really good, or it could be a really good story. Either way.
Ask me that again. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I said I'm going to have to go Michelle Obama so I can answer a question for you. I said either way, it's going to either be awesome or it's going to be an awesome story. One of the two.
Oh, shit. Have you come back talking? It was Roots, my brother. It was Roots.
You would be the first one to know.
Man, MF, you better not say Chelsea Clinton, but go ahead.
No, dude, her teeth fucking bug me. They look like fucking chiclets. You know, those little fucking square candies.
Leave a metal rake scratch on your dick and shit.
You know what I mean? I'm fucking batshit crazy, dude, and I've heard fucking stories about how crazy she is, so I'd have to go with Jolie.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Fucking, even as she is now, bro, I don't care. It could be fucking, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, now. I don't really fucking care. If she's as crazy as they fucking say she is, and I'm game.
Man, yeah. I have to throw Holly Berry in there, too.
I'm going for the mental, bro. Like, I want her to fucking sit there and play mind games with me. Like, stimulate my brain first. If you're batshit crazy, show me.
Hey, the shit is just going to lie. That's all I know.
Bro,
yeah,
how you get a picture of her? No, hips and lips, bro. Like, Joey got the lips, and I don't know what it is, but it's like, you picture, like, if she's looking up at you with them eyes on her lips, like, what are you going to do?
Lips look like they got stuck in a pizza.
You know, if she holds a knife up, she's going to be even sexier. You know,
but
that's not fair,
MF, because you're asking Travis, and he's already been in that position.
I see your point. You know, I respect my previous statement.
Well, man, today's been a tremendous show. We ended it on a comical note, but I'm going to pass the mic to Travis, let him say what he's got to say, and then we're going to jump to MF. But my man Travis, what's up, bro?
And today just, you know, your whole situation, Don, made me think of, you know, one of my favorite quotes I'll say on here plenty of times. I'll just go ahead and throw it out there again. But no man steps in the same river twice, for it's not the same river, nor is it the same man.
I like that, man. You know, that's pretty cool. MF, your random thought of the week.
Oh, shit. I was going to give a quote, but now it's kind of fucking bad. I'm going to quote after a bunch of quotes. Random thought. Okay, well, here's one. Here's a real good fucking random thought. I contemplate this shit all the fucking time. When you talk about things you hate that you get angry about, you know, most of the time it's because we subconsciously hate that particular aspect of ourselves, and that's why we recognize it in something else and we hate that fact. But there's another thought that I've been actually kind of creeping on as far as that particular subject, is that if it's something that you hate, it means that you're not above that thing you hate. Because the only thing that you should be feeling for anything below you is pity. So therefore, if you hate it, you're not above it.
I kind of like that, man. I kind of like that. You know, I don't know what my parting thoughts would be. I think my parting thoughts for today are just going to be, if you have a dab, dab it up. Live life.
Amen. Light is in the air on the exit.
And one final note. If you haven't tried concentrates, I suggest you do.
I would be tickled pink if somebody called in and talked some shit with us. just to get some opinions, you know what I mean, some feedback, even if you just want to shoot the shit. I would be tickled pink if somebody joined us.
Yeah. You know, my homie was supposed to call in. I don't know what happened, man. Maybe next week we'll get him to call in, and he'll get a bunch of people to call in because he's part of that Mayhem Miller Monkey Entourage. But I think my final thought for the show is don't trust everything, because even salt looks like sugar. With that being said, thank you, homies. Much love to you. Until next week, peace be with you. Appreciate you doing the show with me each and every week. It's been a blessing, man. I wouldn't have it any other way. Thank you both.
Much love. Holla.
Much love. Right. Holla. Hey, man, I think I'm going to jump up out of here with some little fucked up shit today. I don't know what it is yet. That's pretty bad. I'm going to have that out today, but I'm having a blast. Here, we'll go ahead and put some Eldorado Jones on that note. Peace.
Yeah. Yeah. Ain't no love. This my 95 Capri flow. Too low to be the police though. Say he don't know who I am, I bet his finance niece know. This beat goes so evil, like people eating people. Got me sitting with a stone face, like a gargoyle on a steeple. Going hard, that's Mando, type of action that I plan for. Tattoo what I stand for, like man, look at my hands, yo. Don't call, tryna wait.